As we close the end of a year, we're grateful that Janice and I are, that we've been allowed to be with this congregation again this year. And we're grateful for each person here, for the encouragement that you give to us, for the encouragement that you give to one another. More and more I read the Bible, the more and more I see that one of the key things as Christians that we are to do is to encourage one another, to help one another, we're all striving to go to heaven. We're all striving to follow the example that Jesus laid out for us. And we need all the help that we can get in being encouraged to stay the course and to follow Jesus and to, by the encouragement of each one of us, one day, all be there. When we all get to heaven, or when the saved get to heaven, is the new version of that. To the wayward son, who humbly returned to his home, the prodigal, his father once said, "This is my son, it was dead, and he's alive again." To those who had become Christians in Rome, the Bible in Romans 6 and verse 11 speaks in this manner, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then later, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20 gives us a little insight into his life. To the Christians at Galatia, he wrote, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." I was thinking along the order for a lesson for this evening, that what is it that can encourage us to be alive in Christ and Christ to be alive in us? And I thought, well, what better way to teach this than to use the example of the one who wrote that verse that we just read, one who was alive in Christ. So we will, for just a few minutes, study some attitudes of the one who said he was truly alive in Christ and that Christ was alive in him. And we'll look at the book of Philippians in an effort to see some statements that Paul made there that indicate that that was exactly what was happening in his life. The church in Philippi was a church that I think was endeared to Christ, to Paul, as he had taught there, as he had visited there on occasions, and as he was writing there with many fond memories of the people at Philippi. Paul was the writer of the book. In chapter 1, we're just going to briefly hit some highlights. Paul was the writer. Paul was in prison when he wrote this book. He was getting on along in his life. He was writing to Christians, to the brethren there, with its bishops or elders and with their deacons. That's where the Philippian jailer was converted, his household. Lydia and her household down by the sea. Paul preached to them and converted those that were there. As we look at this first chapter, I want to think of a phrase that will indicate an attitude of Christ that we need to seek to emulate. Paul had a purpose in his life. Paul had purpose in his life. Philippians 1:21-22. Despite the fact that he was in prison, despite those, there were those who were trying to cause a problem for Paul in their preaching, Paul still felt alive. Verse 21-22, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not." He then says, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart, be with Christ, which is far better." He said, nevertheless, to stay with them would be far better for them, for him to continue to have that, his relationship with them, and to teach them and then have feedback from them and the assistants. They were partners together in the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. In Philippians 1, 2 through 6, we see the closeness that Paul had with this church. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This helped Paul get through those times when he had to be downtrodden. He was chained to a soldier. Everywhere he went, that soldier went. Everywhere that soldier went, he went. Various soldiers throughout the 24 hours of the day were chained to him. He said, always and ever prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Don't you think it would have been interesting to have been that soldier? And you saw how dedicated this man was. Every time he prayed, that soldier knew it probably. Every time he preached to somebody that visited, that soldier got to hear and knew the gospel of Christ. He's thankful, though, for the people at Philippi for their fellowship in verse 5. They're helping their partnership in the gospel from the first day into 9 until now, he says, being confident of this very thing, that we which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's to tell them something that would be they were very grateful to hear, that Paul was so confident and had such assurance of faith in them. For me to live is Christ. This sets forth Paul's purpose. He says, I have no other reason. In the Corinthian letter, he says he was a steward. He had a mission, and he had to answer to God for the mission that he carried out. He called himself a servant of Christ there in the very first verse. He was alive in Christ. He was alive in Christ, Galatians 2:20. Many during the Depression felt they had nothing to live for, and that's when we had a lot of suicides. Today we have a lot of suicides among teenagers. A lot of times there are suicides in and around holidays as people feel that they don't have anything to live for. Paul says, I have something to live for. He lived for those brethren. He lived for the teaching of the gospel, for having another day to share himself and to share the gospel with other people. We need to realize that despite the hardships that we face through life, despite the things that we face and will face through the coming new year, if we have purpose in life, if Christ is our purpose in life, we have reason to keep on keeping on and to keep living for Christ and to keep doing those things He would have us to do. Chapter 2, Paul says, Christ is the pattern of my life. Down in verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, he followed Christ. To the Corinthians, he said, be you followers of me, even as I follow Christ. But here in Philippians 2, verse 5 and following, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Whereof God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Paul said, let this mind be in you. It's like having a mind transplant. The mind of one who is following Christ and has the mind of Christ would be an individual who is humble, just like Christ was humble. He was meek and lowly in heart, the Bible says, and yet God has rewarded him for that humility, for his coming to this earth and doing his will, has rewarded him by exalting him to the right hand of the Father in heaven. We can be alive in the coming years by developing or growing in the attitudes that were possessed by this great gospel preacher, these attitudes that were possessed by Christ. Let this mind be in you. And as I was tinkering around with writing that over again, I scratched out the T. And when you scratch out the T and let this mind, you have let His mind be in you. Let His mind be in you. Our pattern, our example, just as it was Paul's. In chapter 3, in verses 13 and 14, Paul talks about Christ being the prize of his life. Paul had something to live for. He had something to look forward to. And he didn't mind sharing that with the brethren because they had the same thing to look forward to. They could emulate him. They could emulate Christ and thereby have that same prize there waiting for them. Verses 13, 14 of chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we begin a new year, let's not try to put too many things on our plate. A lot of times, that's a good subject, isn't it? After we just put too many things on our plate, took them right back off. But anyway, Paul said, this one thing I do. Paul was able to segregate in his mind the things that he needed to do, and he was able to prioritize things. Sometimes we're not. Something happens, puts us off schedule, we get aggravated, we get pressured, we get anxious. And many of us are retired. We think that would stop after the boss quit getting after us, but it hasn't stopped. We sometimes put too much pressure on ourselves. But don't put too much on the plate. And keep that goal ever before us. Paul is going to say in verse 17 of that same chapter, brethren, be followers together in me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So Paul says, imitate. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the image of the cross. But he said, you don't follow them, you'll notice them. But he says in verse 20, our manner of life or our conversations in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We patiently wait for the Savior. Paul says, that's what I'm doing. And he's encouraging the brethren at Philippi to do the same thing. He said, this one thing I do, I forget those things behind. All we need to learn from some things that may be behind us, but we need to not dwell upon them to where they clog up our mind for solving today's problems and being able to live on into the future. He pressed, therefore he exerted some effort. He pressed toward, indicates he had some direction in which he was going. And this goal he had was Jesus Christ. This goal he had was heaven. So part of his being alive was recognizing that Christ was his price, that Christ was his goal, that heaven was his goal. And we can come alive and be alive as Paul was in 2008 by looking at him and by observing his life and his teachings. In chapter 4, verse that we should be familiar with, in verse 13 of chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I would imagine Paul thought about that statement. That's almost this is my life statement. This is my life policy. There are a lot of things that will need to be done. Now we'll see that needs to be done. How can I do that? How can we do this as a congregation? Paul says, not by myself will I get it done, but I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the power, who strengthens me. We're talking about in Ephesians 6 this morning about the Christian's armor. It's not really the Christian's armor. It's the armor the Christian puts on. It's God's armor. Put on the whole armor of God. And likewise, when we think of living our lives today, we won't accomplish the life, what we need to accomplish in life, unless we turn things over to Christ. Unless we realize that we have the power of Christ behind us and know that he strengthened us. This is a positive statement. Positive statement coming from a prisoner, isn't it? You'd think of all individuals, Paul, you're hindered. You are hampered, Paul. You know, you have to struggle to get anything done. He's, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Just watch here. Whenever noontime comes or whatever, they'll bring me something to eat. Whatever I need to do this or do that, the soldier just gladly goes along with me. Whenever I have someone to preach, he stays right there with me and I got company. So God is providing. Paul was not likely to say, I can't. I don't really think it was in his vocabulary. He said, he's more apt to say, I can do, I ought to do, and I will do. Someone has said he can who thinks he can. And the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. And with these thoughts in mind, I'm sure as Paul wrote with the individuals at Philippi that he loved so dearly in mind, he wrote these things showing a little bit more about himself, but also using it to encourage those to whom he was responsible for and to whom he was extremely close. The key to the power in verse 13, Philippians 4, is in the words through Christ. The fact that Paul says, I can, shows that he did have a personal positive attitude. That he could do adds to it a willingness to go beyond just having that attitude, a willingness to work, not just to be hearers. Through Christ, though, Paul says, I'm not alone. I can do what needs to be done because I don't just rely on Paul. So as we go into the new year, our reliance needs to be beyond ourselves. There are things that, you know, we do ourselves, but we need to realize that with Christ and with Christ and Him involved in our life, we can be alive in Christ. Christ had a purpose Paul had purpose in his life. For me to live is Christ, he said. And we can use that same and have that same purpose in our life. Paul said that Christ is a pattern of my life. He said, this is the way I look at the situation with my relationship to Christ. I need to have His mind. I need to think as He would think. What I do and how I act in the coming year needs to be based on what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Christ is the prize or goal of Paul's life. He didn't just exist to exist. He had purpose. He had a goal. I pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul knowing that the power of his life and ours is Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We can with that desire and determination that Paul had, the boldness that he prayed that he would have and asked others to pray for him. He had that purpose. He had Christ as an example and as a pattern. And he continually pressed on, for he had a goal. He had a goal out there before him. He looked forward and he realized that through Christ he could get things done that needed to be done. Appreciate that all of you here today were here for the various things that we did today and together. We're grateful for you to hear at this time. If there's someone that decided to become a Christian this morning, we'd be glad to baptize you into the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, that you might arise from baptism after having repented and confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the Son of God. As a Christian, if there's one here that needs our prayers or needs to rededicate life to Christ, you have that opportunity as we stand, as we sing for God's blessing.